You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
All right. Welcome to episode 8 of the Broadway Husbands podcast. I'm Brett.
And I'm Steven.
And we're the Broadway Husbands.
That's right.
Today we are super excited because we have newlyweds on our episode, Justin Mortolidi and Mark Evans, and I love following you guys. And first off, absolutely loved your wedding photos. They were gorgeous.
Thank you.
We just looked through all of them last night. It took a long time.
Hours. Shout out to Raven and the Willow.
Yeah. Nice.
But before we kind of dig into all of that, tell us a little bit about your careers and your life on Broadway.
Sure, you go first.
I was gonna say, go ahead, honey, darling. oh, geez. I'll consolidate.
Yeah.
I grew up in Jersey, and I graduated from school and moved to here for a couple of years, and then quickly made my way to LA. I was trying to be a pop star, and I'm a singer-songwriter, so I was recording and trying to make my way out there for almost 10 years, and ended up kept doing musical theater out there. And eventually that brought me to do, they were opening Rock of Ages in Vegas, and I played the role of Drew. And after doing that, I figured, well, I should move back to New York because this is my path. And I came here and started completely over because nobody at that point knew who I was. And after a couple of years, I made my Broadway debut in Escape to Margaritaville, which we started in La Jolla and then moved here. And then after that, I did off-Broadway Clueless, the musical. I played Christian. And
I met you through Ruby.
Yeah, that was
Lewis.
Ruby and I did the For the Record shows in LA together. So we did Boogie Nights and then the Scorsese show,
which was amazing.
That was the reboot. Ruby and I did the first one, but they did another one. It was Scorsese, An American Crime Requiem, which was a couple years ago at the Wallace in Beverly Hills.
Right.
And I got to play the Jordan role, the Leonardo DiCaprio in The Wolf of Wall Street. So that was crazy and insane and fun. But yeah, that was a great company I met Ruby through and met you through.
Yeah.
And we shot a film.
Yeah, we shot a whole thing. And Anderson Davis, I did the South Pacific tour with, who started that For the Record thing. And then I hear that they might be getting like a Netflix deal or something. It's very exciting.
They always have. Yeah. They're always, their fingers are in a lot of pools. That's and cool. They're waiting for what's best for them. But they're it's so well done and they're so talented. Yeah. They put together such good shows. So whatever they do, it's going to be excellent.
Nice. Well, awesome. And then Mark, tell us how you even ended up in the States. It's so interesting.
so much has happened. I grew up in Wales. I'm a farmer's son. Left home age 16 to go to a dance college for 3 years, but left after the first year to go to London to train in musical theater. And I loved it there, and then did the national tour of Seven Brides, Seven Brothers, and then went into the original West End cast of Spamalot. And it was at that point I was a swing on Spamalot, and I was like, I feel like I want a little more responsibility. So I was either thinking I'm going to go towards more directing, choreographing, or playing roles. And the next thing I auditioned for was Wicked for the West End cast, and I did ensemble cover Fiero. And I was like, great, I'll do this. And the night that I went on Fiero, it was once in a year that I played the role. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is what I want to do. And then from there, I just focused all my attention on, like, just going in for things, for roles. My first principal role was Troy Bolton in the London production of High School Musical. And then
I just visual of you playing basketball.
Yeah, I know. Oh, that was not good. I was not a star basketball player. And then I did a couple of national tours, Rocky Horror and Oklahoma. And then I went back into Wicked in the West End playing Fiero.
Oh, wow.
And my last show in London was Ghost the Musical, playing the Patrick Swayze role. And then while I was doing that, I was auditioning for the London production of Book of Mormon, which was about to start there just 7 years ago. ended up, long story short, coming over here instead to play Elder Price on the national tour. Mm-hmm. I only agreed to do 6 months originally, and then I loved it and stayed for 3 6-month contracts and applied for my green card while I was doing it, and then moved here. I made my Broadway debut 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Play That Goes Wrong. And I just did Waitress, and I'm about to do Mrs. Doubtfire. Yay! On Broadway.
It's so exciting.
Yeah, we just did the out-of-town tryout in Seattle, and it's a special show.
It was
show.
So good.
It's good. It's like laugh and cry.
I can't wait.
It's great.
And I've known Rob McClure for like years.
He's incredible.
My God, there is, I think this is public knowledge, I think he does 31 costume changes.
I saw that post. That's crazy.
And I worked it out because I have a very small responsibility in the show. So I was like with a calculator on my phone. I was like, just so you know, this 5-show weekend, you're going to do 250-something costume
I
changes.
I think it was Jen Gambitis who posted this photo of him just like dead on the floor after a 5-show weekend.
It is miraculous what he is able to do in that show. And, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, but it's Robin Williams. We pay enough homage to him and to the movie, but Rob just has this ability to make you fall in love with him from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And he is phenomenally talented.
Ooh, can't wait to see it. Yeah. Wait, so back to you. Where on your path did you two meet?
Yeah. Well, I moved here, and Rock of Ages called me in Vegas, called me again and said, we are going to be closing the show at the Venetian and moving it to the Rio, and we want to bring you back out to close it and reopen it. And so I went back out. And a few months prior to that, I did a reading of a new musical called Oswald, where I was playing Lee Harvey Oswald. And the woman playing my wife was Becca Falconberry. And we hit it off during the reading and had a night out. And right before I was leaving, she wrote me a message on Facebook. And she was like, 2 questions. Are you single? Are you looking? And I said, yes and yes, but I'm about to leave for Vegas. And she said, well, my best friend, Mark, is a very eligible bachelor. He's wonderful. And
so eligible.
She's like, I think you two would really hit it off. And I was like, well, cool. You know, I'm leaving for Vegas, but we can introduce us on Facebook and we'll chat and we'll see. And that turned into texting, which turned into texting every day, which turned into FaceTiming, which turned into falling in love on a video screen. Hmm. And then he eventually was like, I have to come out there and meet you. And
it's so weird to get to know someone and become like best friends and fall in love with someone without having met them in person.
Right.
And I booked a ticket to, I think you were supposed to be away for 4 months. And I was like, I can't wait this long to see whether this is going to be a disaster. So after 6-7 weeks, I booked a flight to Vegas. And I was like, I haven't even seen your legs. And I've booked
Wait a second. So the legs worked out.
How did that work out?
How did that work out?
They worked out.
And
but then his appendix burst the day he was leaving.
The night before, I was rushed into hospital because
in Vegas?
Here.
And I was like, here we go. There's the ball drop. Mm.
I went into surgery at midnight, and I was leaving the hospital at 3 a.m., I think. I'd told this elaborate story about how I had to get on a flight, and they bumped me up the surgery list.
Wow.
And I was out and on a plane 6 hours later. I shouldn't have been. They gave me a strong injection of blood thinners and
you had to get up and walk around.
And a doctor's note. The staff, it was Virgin America, they were brilliant. The airline staff were like, excuse me, Mr. Evans, you need to walk around a little. Like, and then they'll give me some water.
Yeah. Wow.
Anything to get to Vegas. People were like, you're crazy. What if it's a disaster? I'm like, I'm in Vegas. I'll go to the casino. But it wasn't. It was amazing.
It was not a disaster.
Do you find that getting to know each other through text and talking, that you were able to just like be open and honest and talk about things that you probably wouldn't have talked about had you met physically?
Well, dating in New York is just the worst. I'm sure most people listening will agree if they've had that experience. But like what you get when all you have is conversation.
Right.
And so we just fast got to know each other. You know, it was very quick. And you know, there's no opportunity of when is our first kiss going to be? When are we going to sleep together for the first time? Any of that stuff that in New York is like, oh, is it first, second date, whatever? No, we just became really, really close friends first. And from then, it was like, okay, great. Well, we were invested in this already.
Was that a new thing for both of you to have relationships like that where you really get to know each other before?
I mean, I had never experienced that before.
Yeah, I'm kind of I mean, sometimes. An old-fashioned kind of person where if I really like someone, I want to get to know them. But in this, it's not just in New York, in the gay community in general, right, with these apps, hookup apps, mm-hmm. it becomes so easy and so everyday and pedestrian for people to just hook up immediately. Mm-hmm. And it's created a lot of intimacy issues that I've seen in friends, you know, mm-hmm. and in people. And this was a way, without any kind of physical anything,
right,
we got to know each other through talking. And what's this podcast rated?
Oh, you can say whatever you want.
Say what you want. Yeah.
It's adults. It's adults.
I won't say that. But no, it come to a point, because a lot of my friends were like, oh, you must have sent a lot of dick pics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we were like, actually, no, something about it felt so special and so nice that we were just really falling for one another. And it would taint it to make it that way,
right,
via FaceTime. So it was really, we did not see each other until we were together.
And that was the daunting thing about me showing up, having not been to the bathroom for 48 hours, having not showered for 48 hours, iodine stains still on my stomach. Seriously, I couldn't stand up straight. And I'm like, hello.
I was like, let's go right to CVS and get your prescriptions. We'll lay down.
It's a big relief.
There's something really special bonding about that.
I mean, right? You know, we just got married in September, yeah, and that was very much part of the wedding speeches, is this crazy story of how we met. And it's really special.
Oh my God, it makes me so happy. So yeah. What's interesting about, you know, we talk about and people ask about a lot in our relationship is the distance. Mm-hmm. And so for you to meet already in this sort of long distance situation where you're both working, how did that affect your decision, A, to get married and moving forward, knowing that your career is going to do that? And also, I'm very curious about the distance of your family being in a completely different country and how that affects your relationship. So how do you negotiate distance as a couple?
It's tricky, and I think it's really down to the individual, to the couple. For the first 10 years of my career, I sacrificed a lot for work. Like I've traveled so much of the States, so much more of the States than I have of Europe, because I was too scared to go on a vacation to Germany on a weekend because I didn't want to miss an audition or something. I just put it first. I always prioritized my career. And I, once I met Justin, I was like, oh, it's a choice. Like we can choose, we just spent 2 months apart while he was doing Pride and Prejudice in Silicon Valley and I was doing the Mrs. Doubtfire for 2 months. And that was tough, but it was, we both knew why we were doing each of those projects. But, you know, we want to start a family and we have a house in New Jersey and it's simply a case of like, okay, cool, when the opportunity comes up, do we want to deal with the distance and everything that comes along with that? Or do we just say, no, actually, we're going to turn this job down and stay? But it just depends where you're at in your life, where you're at in relationship, and where you're at in your careers. But it does become really difficult. Thank the Lord for FaceTime and Skype and that stuff. At least it feels like you're in the same room, even though it's kind of lonely and quiet once you hang up.
Well, in the beginning, was it how did you... Were you just constantly planning the next time you guys were together and then just constantly keeping the connection through social, or not social media, but through phone and FaceTime? Yeah. Is that how you guys stayed connected?
In the beginning, he came and we met right early December. And then we said in January, I had a little bit of a break and I was going to come to New York and see him. So I came for like a week. And then we said February, Valentine's Day, he'll come back out to Vegas and see me. So we planned it out like that because we knew we couldn't take it. And we had Valentine's together. We said our I love yous for the first time.
Aww. And who said it first?
I did.
He wrote it in a card. And I had planned to say it. I was like, I'm going to say it tonight. Because I almost said it by accident so many times. I was like, I have to get this out. And he wrote it in the card. And I read it and looked up. And I was like, I love you too.
Aww.
But after that, I moved back to New York. I closed that end of February. And then came back here. And it was an understood thing, you know. We our relationship grew, and we found each other in this way apart, and because of it, there was something. Trust was immediately there. We saw each other. We saw who each other really was, and made the decision: I'm going to trust you because I see who you are. I see your heart, and I do trust you. So I make the choice to trust you, because we've all been done wrong. We've all been in bad relationships. Those things scar you. And it's tough sometimes, so you have to like make that solid choice, and we did. And moving forward, it was you know, life was great. And then job would come up. I went to LA to do Scorsese for a couple months. And then I was in La Jolla for Margaritaville.
Yeah, that was hard. We did 3.5 months apart. That was, in an ideal world, 2 to 3 weeks is the maximum you want to go without seeing.
Yeah. That's our goal,
but it's not always possible when you're both booked and blessed, like you guys know.
All right.
Booked and blessed.
3 weeks.
But yeah, it's a learning and it's a build up. And this last one was hard because I was doing Pride and Prejudice and he was in Doubtfire and we had just gotten married. Right. We got back from our honeymoon and you were doing double duty with Waitress and
Doubtfire rehearsals.
Right. So we didn't see each other much after the honeymoon and then we left for 2 months. So that was tough. And one day he, on his day off, he's like, I can't take it. I'm going to buy a ticket and fly down to see you. So he came for one day.
Yeah. Sometimes it's worth it. Awesome.
It's worth it. Yeah. Like a $700 flight. Yeah. I don't care.
It doesn't matter. I need it.
I just need it.
There's one big thing that just popped in my brain from when you were just got married, you were back doing Dr. Palmatter. when you were back doing Dr. Palmatter and you just got married and you were sharing these beautiful photos and you went on your stories and talked to your audience because some people were, I missed what people were saying to you, but I really am curious what that was and what your message was at that time.
I mean, there was a couple things happening. I was working on the play. I'm the associate director of the play that goes wrong off Broadway and on the national tour. So we were rehearsing the new tour cast during the day, and then I was doing Waitress at night the week leading up to the wedding. And then after the wedding, I was doing Doubtfire during the day and Waitress at night. And I was loving it. I really thrive on that. Yeah. But now that we live in New Jersey, there are very specific train times where I need to run to get home. And conveniently at the Brooks Atkinson, my dressing room was one floor up from the stage door. So I would just book it out of there. And I was getting a few kind of verbally abusive messages about like how it is my duty to stage door and to meet people afterwards. And listen, I love meeting people who enjoy the show. I love meeting people and signing their playbills and that sort of stuff. And so I just wanted to get out there and just say, an actor is not contractually obliged to do this. I really, really enjoy it. And I would appreciate if you don't send these messages. Also, people who are commenting hateful stuff on pictures of my husband and I simply don't follow me. And then I said a couple of curse words, I think. But I can't even remember. What did they say?
I
think actually it was a bot. It was like one of those robots.
No, it was people from different countries. I think people that follow certain hashtags or that look for gay or husbands or anything like that, they'll find these photos of, you know, your first kiss at the altar or
hashtags honeymoon of like marriage or
they'll take the opportunity to say things and they were like, you know, where's the wife or ew or putting like the throw up emoji.
Yeah.
And I was just I'm from Jersey. This so my friends are like, who are these people? We're going to find them. I was like, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I'll delete it. And then I told him.
No, that's what I say. Justin does actually respond to them.
No!
Don't say anything.
Okay. Like, babe, don't.
Sometimes they got to be shut up.
Yeah. I'm definitely a commenter back, but Steven's like,
just ignore it.
I mean, honestly,
most of the time I do just delete it, but sometimes I'll be like, this one deserves a special something.
But very rarely do those things like actually affect me. But what it affects, I know that a lot of young people in theater follow Justin and I, and I know that we are, to a certain extent, role models, especially for young gay people. And that's what most of my Instagram is like, professional stuff and then stuff about Justin and I, so that we can hopefully show that there is a world where gay marriage is fine, it's okay, and it's wonderful, and I want to be like an example of that.
Remember that one young man
one young man,
he was at stage door at Waitress and I was waiting for you, we were going somewhere, and he was like, oh, Justin and Mark, he was like, I follow you guys, I love you guys, and it was this young gay guy, and
so it's really what sweet. Affects me is the thought of like other people seeing this and seeing like, oh great, that's two guys having their first kiss at their wedding, and underneath it someone saying that it's immoral and it is wrong and that we should, I don't know what else he said, but it was offensive.
Yeah.
Well, it's all the more reason to just keep posting.
And it was rare. I mean, there was so much love poured out for us at our wedding, so much. And it was these little tiny inserts. It wasn't like an onslaught of it, which was really nice.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shana Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I'm going to ask you, like, what everyone asked us when we got married. Does it feel different?
How long ago did you get married, by the way?
8 years?
8 years. It'll be nine. Wait. Was the idea of calling each other husband like a weird thing?
Do you know
how does that feel?
Because I have my thoughts. Honestly, on that too. Full disclosure. Yeah. I think you had as well. We've been doing it for a while beforehand because, and this is a bit of an issue of ours. When you are on the phone and you say, "Oh, my fiance and I," they're just like, "Oh, well, just ask her to come in." And I'm like, "Oh, no, it's a him. I'm sorry." And this is just that. And so I'm like, you know what?
Sometimes they'd be like, is she going to come here to sign this? I'd be like, well, no, he, da 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 da. And they'd be like,
no, your fiance.
So, I'm so like, yeah, she's. And I'm like, I just.
Yeah.
And so for a while, I was like, oh, you know what? It's the same as sometimes when I can't be bothered like telling people how I'm British and why I came here, right, apart from when I'm doing a podcast, of course. and so I'll just go around with American dialect sometimes, talking to strangers. And it's the same as like, oh, I don't want to have to explain that I'm getting married to a man and that he's he's my male fiance. Yes. So we'd been calling each other husbands for a while.
Oh, nice.
I think.
So it's just easier.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really nice to say it formally. And
yeah. And I don't think, I felt more different once we got engaged than after getting married. I kind of preempted what it was going to feel like to be married because it kind of felt that way anyway. But once we got engaged, it was like, oh, this is, suddenly there was like a relaxation. It was like, okay, cool. Yeah. We've made this choice. We've made this commitment to each other. Like, this is it. He's not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. We literally can go places and know that we're always coming back to each other. We have made this commitment and it just felt so... It was the most safe and secure I had ever felt in my life.
Oh, yeah, something deepened both times for me, engagement and marriage. Something just like dropped further into this state of bliss and love and family.
Yeah, that's what it feels. Yeah, it's family. And we want to have children. And it's like, oh, we are now like legally Mark and Justin Evans Mortaliti. And our children will be names Evans Mortaliti. And it's like, oh, great. We're a unit. And it feels great.
He's going to have to spell his last name for the rest of his life. Welcome to my world.
Welcome.
Is it challenging for you having family so far away in the UK?
I think because I left home at 16, I was used to being away from them just in London, which geographically it's like a four and a half hour drive away. And so when I first came over to the States, I would fly back every 6 months, which ended up being more frequently than when I was in London. But now it's trickier once you commit to contracts here because the American work ethic is so hard. Like you get 1 week of vacation for every 6 months and it's more difficult to, you know, I don't want to use every vacation allowance that I have to go back to the same place all of the time. And my family are good at kind of taking it in turns coming over here. But it is difficult. Again, FaceTime is just wonderful. We're going back in about 10 days, actually, for a week to see my family in Wales for 4 days and then friends in London.
His family's awesome.
It feels weird that the last time I saw most of my family was putting them on a bus at this farmhouse in the Catskills, upstate New York.
I was going to say. Yeah.
Saying goodbye after our wedding.
Bye. But were there cultural differences for you guys to get used to being from Jersey versus
Wales? Differences of your families, yeah.
Mark cannot take the volume of my friends and family. It's a bunch of Jersey Italians and South Philly Italians, and they're loud. We're loud.
We were in a car going down to the Jersey Shore one time with three of Justin's girlfriends.
High school friends.
Yeah. And it's like they have this miraculous ability to all talk at the same time with different conversation topics, but all hear each other and respond to each other. And he just turned to me. I was sitting in like the rear seat
by the window. Into his chair.
And he turned
slowly
to me. He was like, "Are you all right?" I was like, "Yeah, it's just a lot." And then when Justin came over, the first time he met all of my family was at my older brother Ian's wedding. And so he met everyone at the same time, cousins, aunts, uncles, everyone.
I need to tell the story when I fell on my ass.
Yeah.
Do it.
Say it. It was that day. It was at the wedding. And we're standing around cocktail hour. And their weddings are different. Their cocktail hour is pretty long. And I was standing with his father, his sister, and his brother-in-law. We're talking, maybe like two drinks in, and his brother-in-law just smacks my ass. And I was so surprised by it that my feet flew out from underneath me. My drink went in the air. I kicked his sister in the shin, and I landed on my back in the grass. And they're all like, "Oh, are you okay?" And I was like, "I'm not drunk."
I had just met them.
But I just was so shocked. But that's just how friendly they are. They immediately took to me. They were immediately treated me like family.
You just come up to smack your ass.
Yeah, apparently. They're wonderful. And this is
that a British thing?
No, it was, no, Wayne, it was just my brother-in-law. It's a brother-in-law.
He's a fun, loving, goofball guy. And right away, just... I guess saw that I was too, and we were chummy, you know?
One cultural thing that is different that Justin still takes time to get used to every time he goes back is saying, "You're right." Is like a version of, "Hello, hi,
how you doing?
What's up?"
Yeah.
"You're right." But at first he was just like, yeah, I'm okay, I'm fine.
The fifth person that asked me, I was like, "Did somebody
do
say
I look
something
sick
happened?
Or something?"
What if you're just like, "Well, actually today I'm feeling a
I
little
I did the first few. I was like, "Yeah, I'm okay. I'm a little jet lagged still, but I'm tired." Lagged.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
But we were excited for the wedding because we were like, they're all gonna be together. And we're like, this is gonna be a trip. And it was, I mean, nothing crazy happened. Everyone got along really well. There was so much love in the room.
That's the wonderful thing. We were looking through the pictures last night, and there are hundreds of them. And we would pause on each one. I was like, "Oh my God, look, there's like Ashley and Mark with like your Aunt Regina and Uncle Jimmy, and like my all of these people
dancing
in the Catskills, which is a 3.5 hour drive north from New York City." Like, it just, the fact that everyone makes so much
colliding. It's magic. Yeah. It's magic,
right? Wonderful.
It's just so much love. Like, your face just hurts from smiling, yeah, right?
I cried tears of joy the entire day.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest thing ever.
Me too. Like,
what's wrong with me?
So you guys have to see, if you don't already follow these two guys, go to their Instagram. What are your handles?
I'm Mark Evans, actor.
Just Mort.
And check out their wedding photos because they're just really beautiful.
Thank you. And we just got a bunch more, so there's
more
to
come.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so beautiful. I wish we could talk. I want to talk more and more and more, but we really have to save time for our next segment, which we call Spotlight on Love.
Aww.
So, Stephen, we got a message from a follower. So we try to offer relationship advice. Sometimes it's great, and sometimes it's an epic fail.
Oh, good God, are we going to have to give some advice right now?
I'm really good at
that. We want your advice to this listener, and I think it's not what you think it's going to be. It's a very interesting question. I'm going to let Steven read it.
Oh, here we go. So this is from an anonymous person on Instagram. "Hey, I came out as bi to my parents to soften the blow of having a gay son. I'm not bi. And I really want to experiment with more femme things. I want to wear makeup and shave my legs, but my parents will be totally disappointed in me. Should I discuss it with them or just say screw it and do it behind their back? Love y'all."
Whoa. It depends. I think it depends. You have to make sure that you're safe. I don't know the age of this person.
I don't know either.
But if you're reliant on your parents, you're living in their house, if you're living in a certain part of the country, if you know that your community is unaccepting, you have to be careful and worry about your safety. And it might be something where you have to keep it private until you're old enough to get out. Or maybe you have a few people you trust and you can really be yourself around, which I would encourage you to seek out and find these people because they are around and you will find them and you will need each other. But if you are in an area that's more accepting and a little more... progressive, I'd say great. I'd say you should speak to your parents, be honest and open and hope for the best, but maybe expect the worst just in case to take care of your own heart and everything's going to be all right.
I think the difficult thing for there was in our wedding, actually, there was this camaraderie amongst the gay people, because in my wedding speech I said, you know, growing up and dreaming of getting married wasn't an option for us because we hadn't seen any of that. We hadn't seen that being a possibility until June 26, 2015, when it was legalized in all states that same-sex couples could get married. And it was like, suddenly just thought like, God, why do we have to come out? You know, we were celebrating International Coming Out Day. I don't even remember when it was, but a couple of months ago. And I'm like, it's an awful thing that one is expected to do, to say like, hey, everyone, this is me. Ultimately, whoever you are is you. The fact that you feel that you need to declare it to someone else is society's demands on you. I disagree. If you want to tell people that you are gay, bisexual, wherever you fall on the spectrum, take the labels away. It doesn't matter who you are in love with, who you are attracted to. Everything is okay as long as you are safe. And I think that, you know, the relationship with parents is very unique, and obviously being as open as possible to them is going to keep a relationship, like honesty between people is always going to keep a relationship working best. But again, you don't pick your parents, they are your parents, and you are capable of getting through anything and everything by yourself or with all of your friends and family members, anyone who supports you.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
What would you say?
Well, I think what both of you said was beautiful. I also think that, you know, if shaving your legs and, you know, dressing up, if you want to do it, like, do it. Yeah. You know what I mean? And if you feel like you have to hide out to do it for your safety, as you guys mentioned, I think that, you know, until you're in a place where you know that you're safe, you know, you should go for it. I also think that, you know, be true to yourself, like, you know, don't feel like you have to label yourself, you know, it's kind of what Mark was saying too, is just like having to identify yourself as bi or gay. You know, I think just be true to yourself and, the rest will work itself out. You know, you'll keep placing yourself in the right places with the right people.
Yeah. I mean, I always say, like, I don't know your coming out stories. I'm sure it's very different from both points of view. It's always different for everybody. But like, if you really care about the people in your life and you're, you know, going through something and you are afraid of how they think of you, it's and you really want them to stay in your life, it kind of becomes your responsibility to educate them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because they're probably ignorant. And what this person has that we didn't have when I was coming out is the internet.
Yeah.
And access to groups and GLAAD and organizations that help support people who are going through whatever, even if they want to identify with a different gender or whatever, you have access to that. We didn't have that.
I wish we had that stuff.
Right. Yeah. So like, educate yourself, educate your family. You know, you don't have to lie about being bi now. You can actually go straight to the thing and just say, hey, I'm gay, and here's what that means. Here's a book about it, or here's a website or whatever, right?
Yeah, I'd say lying never does any good to yourself, to other people. It always ends up in pain and turmoil and trouble. But there's a way to creatively suggest, like he says he wants to shave his legs. There's a way to maybe go to if you have a mother or a stepmother, mother figure, go to them and say, you know, will you show me how to shave my legs? I really hate my hair. It bothers me. It irritates me. Like, I kind of just don't want to have it, and see how they take it.
Yeah.
You know,
see how that goes.
Be creative about your ways of saying things, and you might be surprised.
Yeah. Well, I think that's some interesting advice. It's an interesting question for sure. Definitely. If you want relationship and dating advice for our completely unqualified selves, DM us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands or shoot us an email at broadwayhusbands.com, and we just might choose your question on the next episode.
Hey!
Also, to guarantee you receive our advice, consider becoming a patron on Patreon, and you can join us on a live
podcast
to ask your question. Check out this plus an array of other benefits of patreon.com at patreon.com/broadwayhusbands for more details.
We want to thank our guests Mark and Justin. I'm so glad we got to connect with you guys, because I love following you on Instagram, and you said you hope to be an example for people. I think you are an example
People.
Thank you.
You're an example to us. It's beautiful to watch your relationship, and We're so lucky to have you here today.
Thank you for having us. This is awesome. Thanks for listening, too.
Thanks. All right. And on this podcast, we encourage you to
love who you love
and love what you do.
Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.